Tonight I'd like to talk to you guys about the power of faith and the impact of doubt. I think that it's relevant to many of our situations that we're all struggling through a lot of things. Some of us are in all different types of avenues in life, whereas, you know, maybe, but I would argue that all of us are going through our daily lives and all of us are faced with challenges. We all have different challenges, but nevertheless, there's definitely challenges that we're all facing. I think that when we think about faith, it's so powerful. The problem is the majority of the daytime, we don't implement that faith. We don't think about that faith when we're making our daily decisions. And that's really the issue. So what happens is we get encouraged and we have a plan and we stay strong and we're in that faith and those challenges come about and the doubt in our mind starts to fester and then we begin to falter on our progress. We begin to question our stance. We start to feel like we're moving backwards, you know? And I think that we're all guilty of it, but in the reality of it all, understanding how powerful faith is and how much impact doubt has on faith is going to benefit us because we need to shut that out. So we got five tips to deal with doubt. And that's the one thing is we want to eliminate that doubt. We want to keep that faith in front of us. And as long as we're in that faith and we keep that mindset, whether everything's on fire right now and everything's uncomfortable right now, if we got that mindset of faith, we're going to go through that storm. You see, it's so easy. I've seen so many people make 6, 8, 9 months of progress and then wham, right back in, you know, more prison time, more time to do. And you talk to them, so, well, they made so much progress. What happened during that time frame that caused them to do that? And I would argue that nothing happened. It was the same person all along. I mean, there nothing really changed. Nothing ever happened. It was just consistent temptations coupled with doubt against our faith. The only way that we can truly succeed in life against all of what the world has to offer is to keep a powerful faith and a powerful determination. We allow doubt come into our lives and it chips away at our progress and can eat away as we fall victim to temptation. Next thing you know, it takes 2 seconds to make a decision that could cost you 15, 25 years to deal with physically. Now, the next day, having understood that we made a bad decision and stepped up and said, you know what, I'm ready to put it on the table. I'm obviously not going to do it again. I'm going to learn from it. God can forgive us spiritually, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there isn't physical retribution that still has to take place. You know, in these decisions that we make every day, we don't realize that we're talking about our whole future. So I'm going to read you a very famous story real quick here in John or Matthew chapter 14 about Peter. It says, immediately he made the disciples go into the boat ahead of him to the other side while the crowds went away. And after he sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain to himself to pray. And it was in the evening and they were there all alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. It just means that the wind was strong and it was contrary to the boat. The boat's splashing back and forth. You know, it's starting to get a lot of turbulence on the water. And it says, in the fourth watch of the night, which we determined to be somewhere around 3 a.m., fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking in the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take courage, for it is I. Do not be afraid. Peter said to him, Lord, if that's you, command me to walk on the water. Jesus said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. He began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. And his hand took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? For when they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, And when the men took place, they recognized him and sent word to all the surrounding district and brought him who were always sick. And they implored him that they might touch the fringe of his cloak, that as many as touched him was healed. And the thing about this reference that I'm sure you guys have had to hear at some point, one another, is the fact that we can compare this lesson to our lives. Peter, looking at the Lord, convinced in his faith, was able to walk on water. But Peter, having been challenged, was scared, began to sink. But then when he cried out to the Lord grabbed his hand and pulled him in through and said, "You, O little faith." I mean, you know, we think about this in our daily lives. How many, like, we run good, we run bad, right? You think back in your life, in your time frame, and you think, well, I ran good for 6 months then, I ran good for 1 year here, I ran good for, you know, and then the dynamite blew up and you wonder, so why am I so self-destructive? You know, what is this pattern of self-destructiveness that causes me to make bad decisions, to continue to have to deal with this? And the difference here is through those times in our lives, when we have our mindset on faith and we have our mindset on applying our faith to our lives, regardless of it being challenging, we still make progress there. You see? But it's all these exterior forces that come after us on a consistent basis to pull our mindset away from God. You got bills to pay. You got kids to feed. You got a job to go to. You got resources. There's lights that need to be on. There's relationships that have to be met. There's expectations. Now we got court systems. We got the law. You just add all of this stuff, right? All of your friends' expectations of who you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do. Add all of that stuff in. None of that stuff is faith, right? Work, hobbies. That's not faith. Bills. Expectations, those aren't faith. Now, there's a walk that completes all of those things. There's a way that we can focus in our faith and all of those things are met, right? But the reality of it is we allow this pressure, we allow the wind, we allow the turbulence, we allow those challenges to come in our lives and distract us away from our common goal. And you sit to yourself right now, what are my common goals in this current position that I'm in right now? And if I'm not thinking about what are my current goals, then why aren't I asking myself, why do I want to improve? Because if I go to bed every day and I don't do anything to improve at this point, and I can't, I've convinced myself that it is impossible for me to improve without faith. It is impossible for me personally to be accountable without faith. Because I myself am self-destructive. My own thoughts, my own mind, my inner man, I can exploit him. I can see him. I can hear him. I know when he's saying things that are contrary to Scripture because I spend time in the Scripture, and when I learn it and I understand it, and then what's going on in my mind is contrary to that, I have to ask myself, is this really what's right for me? But then we go back and then you wonder, you know, why can't you look your parents in the eyes, your children in the eyes? You know, I remember time periods in my lifetime when I wouldn't look anybody eye to eye. But now, having, you know, walked through that faith and having God, you know, healing us and forgiving us and understanding that, you know, physical repercussions, just like we talked about, sometimes still have to be dealt with. But as far as faith is concerned, if you want to get on that right track for your children's sake, you want to get on that right track for your future's sake, then aligning yourself with faith and staying in that faith without allowing those waves to throw you off. So another example in John 20 was Thomas, was a disciple that witnessed the horror of everything that occurred up until that point, lost his faith. And in Matthew 26:31 said, "You will all fall away because of me in the night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Thomas was scattered. He doubted. But what was Jesus' reaction? Jesus' reaction to him was, "Touch me. Feel me. Know that it is me, that I'm here, that I'm with you." He reaffirmed that faith. Another verse that I happen to be one of my favorite, he says, "And once you have turned again, he'll pray for the others." And what he's saying there is that he's aware of our shortcomings. He was aware of their shortcomings at that very moment. But he said, when you snap back into that action, when you implement that faith in your life, when you get that, you know, fresh breath of air, of energy to say, I'm not going to give up today, then heal the others. Pray for the others. Work with the others. Because that's our calling, really. Our calling is to love everyone, but God first. Love me before anything else, and the others as you love yourself. And the kindness and love is our calling. So, dealing with doubt. A, identify it. What's the doubt that's currently going on in your life? What's shaky in your walk? What's shaky in your faith? Is it necessarily that I don't believe that God exists? Doubt can transform into the fact that I can justify why I continue to use substances. Why I continue to use substances during my walk. Right? Because I'm doubting this scripture. I'm telling myself that it's okay for me to drink on the weekends because there's never been any really harm to it, even though in my track record I got 90 DUIs. Right? But it's not hurting anybody. Or I'm telling myself that I can handle myself this way, or I still have a pride issue, but God's working on that. We'll get around to that, right? There's all different types of doubt in our life that we need to exploit. And the question is, identify your doubt. What's stopping you today? What are you allowing in your walk that causes you to be shaky? Number two, identify the cause of it. You know, is it my friends? Am I blaming it on my struggles, my life, my situation? Is it a past occurrence? Now, I know we talked not too long ago that I got a cousin that really just won't let go the first 4, 5, 6 years of his life. He just can't. I mean, but at this point, we're 35, 41 years old. I would argue that you're responsible at this point for anything that happened to you when you were young, because you've had plenty of time to get past that. So we're holding on to the fact that I was violently beaten and I can't get forward because I was 0 through 10 and I'm 41 today, then it's time for me to let that go. Amen. It is. It's just bottom line. I mean, we can't carry all these burdens. Like, if you picture a man that has the ability to probably carry 5,000 pounds, drag 5,000 pounds, and then you say that every instant that offended him or hurt his feelings or crushed him from day one on that he never forgave was equivalent to 50 pounds, and add up how many of those instances that you haven't forgiven in your life, and you now you're a man that can pull 5, but you're weighed down with 150,000, right? Every single person that ever harmed you, every single thing that ever happened, all this unforgiveness, all of that stuff is more weight. If we carry that unforgiveness in us, it stops us from making progress. So if we have unforgiveness in our lives, we don't necessarily have to forgive them for their sakes. We have to forgive them for our sakes. Forgive them for the Lord's sakes. Because He said, if you do not forgive those, then I will not forgive you. So it's a reciprocal requirement in that God says, if you think about all the nasty things that you've done since day one, and you sit here and you can't be accountable to that, right? I'm still going to forgive you. I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to lead you. I'm still going to bring you to where you need to be. But what I need from you is I need you to treat them as I've treated you. In that, if anyone's taken offense, it's time to let it go today. And I'll tell you what happens is, and some of you that have probably been through that, understand that when you bring yourself to the point of where you forgive somebody who absolutely doesn't deserve it, they don't have to deserve it, but you make the decision to forgive them and you stay on that, you wake up lighter the next day. It does. It takes away that frustration. It takes away that pain. It takes away that anger. Slowly, 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 you eliminate all of those 50 pounds, 50 pounds, 50 pounds, 50 pounds. Pretty soon you're back in your window again. Now you're moving. Whereas before I was so stopped up. Dad was violent. Mom wasn't around. Sister was violent. Friends ain't worth nothing. And it all adds up. I can't get nowhere. And this was my fault because I'm the victim? Well, I would argue extreme accountability in that I chose to continue to be here. Right? We can't choose what happens to us to a certain degree. But once we become, you know, men and women, we become responsible. There's an age of accountability that takes place where we then have to look at it and say, okay, that was yesterday. Now we're going to focus on tomorrow. Because I'm tired of sitting here in this mud. Amen? Right? It's like, you ever just sit there, you just wake up and you say, how did I get here? How did I get here? How did that happen? I remember a day I woke up, I was facing 45 years and a 3 to 18. And I just thought to myself, how did I get here? And then the next thought was, how do you honestly think about this? Because I can sit here and tell you how I got here where it's not my fault and I'm still the victim. But I would argue that that guy still has more noodle cups in his future. Amen? Right? Because he don't see it. He don't get it. But then when I stop and I say, okay, if I just argue extreme accountability and I say, why am I here? What did I do to do this? What is hindering me? How can I begin to change? That's what I need to focus on. Amen? So identify the cause of it. If I got some rough friends, I got to tell my friends, listen, man, I love you, but I'm going to love you from a distance. I can't have you coming over here keeping me in my same routine because I'm getting out of that routine. I know where that goes. I know where that ends up. I've been down that road so many times I'm not driving down there anymore. I will jack up the car and take the wheels off before I go down that road again. You know what I'm saying? Is it a rough time in life? Well, life is rough. No one said it was going to be fair. And it hasn't been fair for anyone else that I've met. I haven't met one person yet that said, you know what? It's just been absolutely fair since day one. It's not. It's not going to be. I can't expect it to be. So if I got expectations that life's going to be fair, when it's not, then I'm setting myself up for failure. I need to just struggle on and handle it with the punches and keep on moving. Where are we at in here? Past info, we covered that. Number three, pray. Pray, 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 pray. Mark 9:24. I do believe, help me with my unbelief. That's a good prayer. So he's sitting there praying, and he said, pray. He tells him to pray, and he said, Lord, I do believe, help me with my unbelief. He says, so I'm having struggles here. I know what they are. I'm having issues maybe with the doctrine, maybe with the history of the doctrine, maybe how the years lined up. Maybe I have some strange argument that's causing me to have a defect in my faith. And he says, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. You know, help me fill these voids. Help me answer these questions. Help me be whole. Don't allow me to have voids in my faith. Right? If I have an issue with this, really in reality of it all though, with networking, we should be able to contact any one of the mentors or anybody that we have in our lives and say, hey, I got a question about the Word. Can you help me understand it? Or can we look at it together? And I know that there's guys that come in here every week that would love to sit down and be like, what verse do you got? Well, that's one guy that's got them. There's another guy. Here's another guy. You know what I mean? There's also guys that come in throughout the week that are definitely be good for that. We shouldn't have any kind of issues with understanding because there's resources to learn. We just have to have the willingness to sit back and go, okay, give me what you got. Help me get through this. Help me understand it so I can grow in my knowledge, grow in my faith. But he said, I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. But prayer does something. I'll give you guys a personal message here. Something amazing thing happened to me this week. So I have a business partner who's gone rogue that's cost me an extreme amount, which put a lot of stress on me. And I started to begin to think the same way that I would think maybe 20 years ago, 15 years ago or so. And I was having a big issue with this, was sitting out feeling sorry for myself on the back porch. My wife comes out, sits down, who is a starch atheist. I've made no progress in this department. All I have nonstop tried for 5 years straight now. But she sits down and she says, well, why haven't you prayed for him? Why don't you pray for him? And then now, so I'm sitting there and I'm already mad. I'm just mad. I'm just being quiet. You know, that's the best thing I've learned to do with myself. I don't have to run off and drink anymore. I don't have to beat people up. But if you give me 30, 50 minutes to myself, I can let the steam out now without danger, right? There was a point in day in my life where I get too angry and then you, everybody watch out, period. So she sits out and I looked at her and I said, so why do you give me this advice? She said, because I've learned from you. I've learned that people deserve another chance. I've learned that just because somebody did something specific doesn't necessarily mean that that's their total MO and they need to be. I've learned how to forgive through you. And I was like, this is the first time in 5 years my wife has ever spoke to me about faith. So I ate my crow. I smiled. She left. And then late at night, Caleb and I take turns praying every night. He's my littlest guy. And it was my turn. And sure enough, I sucked it up and I prayed for him. And then slowly every day I'll pray for them. And then maybe that'll work on. You see the difference of the power of faith and the impact of doubt? My doubt was, I'm thinking I'm going to have to handle this situation myself. And I've been trying to be patient about it for months. And it's really hurting me physically, financially. And then out of nowhere comes validation that something is finally changing at home in the direction of faith. Like an impossibility. Because, I mean, we've been fighting this battle for years. There's been no progress. It would appear to be no progress. All the commentary is not, you know, but you stay on track and you stay faithful. You stay, and God will speak to you in your life. And I believe that. Now, that's a personal situation that happened to me this last week. And I just thought, pray. It's amazing how staying on track in your faith can change your life. The end of the day, if all of it's gone, what does it matter? I still have the Lord in my life, and He owns every single thing. So I can fight about these breadcrumbs, but God's got the horizon. You see? But that whole situation clogged my mind that I couldn't see anymore. And I know that we all have these situations in our lives where it just causes us to be blinded, you know? And it says that they are blinded by the God of this world. But it said the veils return when they turn to the light of the glory of Christ. You know, that's how that veil's removed. Like every time we turn to Christ, when we've got really foggy glasses, He just cleans them back off. And it's like, ding, oh yeah, I get it now. I'm an idiot. Right? I mean, that's how it ends up for me a lot. I don't mean that maybe now you guys are probably like, yep, that's what I was thinking. But me, it don't work that way. I'm always like, ah, I need to grow. Number four, talk to a mature Christian about your doubts. Search through the scriptures. Get a pastor, a mentor, an elder, somebody that you know is well grounded in faith. Not somebody that's 19 minutes head start. Get somebody that you know has got a resume, that they've been in that faith for a minute. They know it in and out. And then they can give you sound scriptural advice. That's what we need. Because a lot of times, you know, all right, I'm gonna gamble with you guys a little bit. Do you know what an ask whore is? They call it an ask hole. Ask, A-S-K hole. No? Somebody that asks for your advice and doesn't use it. Right? But I think that we're all in that range where we ask for all this advice and ask for all this advice and ask for all this advice, but we really don't use it. But in the reality of it all is if we did take time out and we knew the people were spiritual that we were getting our advice from, then we could trust that God is leading them to work with us too. And then we got just a more concrete avenue of direction there. And it's just so important to understand that the guys that you're looking up to, the gals that you're looking up to have that faith in their life, because then they're going to give you unconditional love in their answer. Because you ask me for advice, I give you advice, but am I giving you advice that benefits me? Right? I mean, that you would wonder though, on all your friends, the people you're close to, the people you see all the time that aren't going to church, things like that. Well, what should I do about this? Well, you should just give it to me. Right? I mean, at the end of the day, but if you ask a pastor, you ask a guy, so all these guys that are grounded in their faith, they're going to be like, I want to unconditionally help you grow through that, get past that so that you succeed. You don't take anything from me. I've already been given. The majority of us that have been blessed already understand that we've been given more than we can have already. You know, just the simple fact of the reality of being here and living in this life that we don't deserve is a phenomenal blessing. But see, it's just, today's generation is hard to realize that. You know, there's cars, there's money, there's jobs, there's status, there's pride, there's all these things, all these waves, all this wind that comes in that wants to destroy us from understanding that we already have everything we need. Amen? All right. So, live like you knew that you should. Cut the sin out and walk by your faith. Many times, it is our own sin and in turn later causes doubt to spring up in our lives. If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're less likely to incur more doubt. So we are the salt of the earth, the light in the darkness, which is same as the faith to the doubt. Now, can we do a little exercise real quick? Marvin, will you shut the lights off? That's doubt. This is doubt. Now, implement faith. Go ahead. Immediately. The light shoots through the darkness. And it just has that strong of an impact. Thank you, Marvin. It has that strong light. So when you think about the fact that I'm sitting here, am I sitting here in the dark or am I sitting here in the light? When I think about my future, when I think about my faith, when I think about the decisions that I'm making, the choices that I'm making, the things that I accept, won't accept, it's just as powerful as sitting in the darkness or sitting in the light. Amen? Think about that. And it says the righteous will live by their faith. Luke 7:50 says your faith has saved you. Romans 12 says fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. It says even after we fail, Luke 22:31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. That was the verse I was thinking about earlier. So that he knew he would fail, but yet his reaction was acceptance again. So it's like many of us have this issue where we feel like we're insignificant or we feel like it's us, right? But in reality, Jesus is just sitting there. He's ready. He's here for us. That whole thing's a facade. We can't feel bad on our own. What we do is we accept it and we move forward. The knowledge of what I've been through, the knowledge of who I am and what I'm setting down, I keep. Because tomorrow I don't want to be that anymore. Amen? But God coming in my life and saying, you don't need that anymore, and knowing that I'm going to have shortcomings, but then he prayed, he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. That's such a powerful verse to know that God is such a compassionate, patient God, understanding that we're jumping over hurdles and sometimes we're falling. But he's right back there. He's there at the bottom of the hill. We go, let's go. Matthew 13. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn again, and I should heal them. Romans 10. Faith comes through hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we need to get ourselves in an environment conducive to faith, which would then increase doubt. What are the things that we can do to continue to grow? We just stay in Bible study, stay in church, keep in contact with our mentors, making sure that we're keeping those positive lines open so that we can get recharged. If you picture it like a battery and you say, I'm going to go off into that world and I'm going to try to be as good as I can. I'm going to try to be as kind as I can. I'm going to try to be as loving as I can. But I pull out onto the first street and there's the first one right into me. You know what I mean? And you're just like, and your battery decreases and your battery decreases. How many of those instances do we go through an entire week period? Whereas we only go to church for 1 hour, right? So we go to church for 1 hour and our battery drains the rest of the week. We got to keep open lines of contact so that we can stay on that faith, you know, stay in environments conducive to growth. And that's how we can continue to strengthen our lives. But one thing we got to do is accept that powerful faith in our lives and eliminate that doubt. Amen.